Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit U, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit U on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags Nonprofit U, Tutor Mentor Institute, or Youth Development. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_U. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. You'll find a link to open the account on the episode page. You may also email me questions at consulting@valeriefleonard.com or send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit U fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is @NonprofitU. We'll be taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark, and the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Connecting the Dots, Creating Tutor Mentoring Hubs to Transport Low-Income Children from Poverty to Careers. We'll talk about how the Tutor Mentor Institute LLC is creating tutor mentoring to transport low-income children from poverty to careers. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chats at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals and educators are especially encouraged to call in and share your war stories and strategies. Our guest for today is Dan Basil, Doctor of Humane Letters. He's the president and CEO of the Tutor Mentor Institute, LLC. Dan shares ideas and resources that can be used by leaders of volunteer-based programs to constantly improve their efforts. Business, political, and education leaders can also adopt these methods to help make constantly improving volunteer-based tutor-mentor programs available in more of the high-poverty areas of the Chicago region and other big cities of the world. You can find the bio for Dan on my blog, Nonprofit U, under Episode 7, Connecting the Dots. Go to valeriefleonard.com, Nonprofit U, and click onto the episodes page. You'll also find very interesting slides that highlight his work on today's slideshow. So Dan, can you tell us a little bit about the Tutor Mentor Institute LLC and how you got involved? Specifically, we're looking at who Tutor Mentor Institute is, your mission, who you serve, and some of your latest accomplishments.
Valerie, thank you for having me on your show today and to give me an opportunity to share my ideas and experiences. The Tutor Mentor Institute is the current stage of a 40-year journey that started when I became a volunteer tutor working with a Cabrini Green boy in 1973. It's a library and a resource anyone can use to help build and sustain volunteer-based tutoring, mentoring, and learning programs, helping kids through school and into careers. At first, the library was information I used to support my own weekly tutoring and mentoring activities. Then, when I became the leader of a program, it became information I used to lead the tutoring program at Montgomery Ward. Since 1993, it's been information that other people could use to support tutor mentor programs in any part of Chicagoland or in any other city.
Oh, that's awesome. So you have a very interesting approach. You take the GIS databases to identify where youth programs are located and where more are needed. First of all, can you let us know what a GIS database is and what made you decide to use them as a centerpiece for your work?
The GIS stands for Geographic Information Systems. A GIS system allows you to plot address data on maps, like a map of Chicago. It also enables you to do this as layers of information. Thus, one layer could be a boundary map of Chicago showing zip codes or wards. A second could be indicators of need, such as poverty or poorly performing schools. A third could be known tutoring and mentoring programs in the city. A fourth could be assets like churches, businesses, and universities. I was first introduced to GIS systems in 1993 by the librarian at the United Way. We were just starting to build a directory of Chicago tutoring and mentoring programs, and she asked me, "How will you show this information?" I said, "I had not thought of that yet." She pulled out a geography magazine showing how data can be plotted on maps, and I was hooked. I've been trying to apply GIS maps and spatial analysis to my work ever since.
Wow. And I'm so glad that she hooked you in. I can remember when I was working on a project in North Lawndale right around the time that they were doing redistricting. And folks in North Lawndale were very clear that we didn't want North Lawndale to be separated from one district to another. We wanted all of North Lawndale to be in the same congressional district, the same legislative district. So when it came for us doing the advocacy and doing presentations, we weren't able to find any maps except yours that actually had the official boundaries as they were, as well as the assets. And we were able to talk about those assets that you had plotted on the map to show how we wanted to make sure that our legislators can advocate for one community, because we have a similar, you know, we have problems that are unique to North Lawndale, and we really didn't want to split that up. So thank you so much. And those maps are still there. So I really, really appreciate that. And what I noticed too was the Tutor Mentor Institute has one guiding question to focus its work. Everything you do focuses around this question: what will it take to ensure that all children born into poverty are entering into careers by 25? You look at all the options offered by schools and after programs that are available to children from pre-K to high school and beyond. So what are some of the approaches that the Tutor Mentor Institute has taken to reach your goal of placing children born into poverty into careers?
Well, if we can collect information showing how people in different parts of Chicago, the United States, or the world are helping kids move through school and into jobs, we can use that information to innovate ways to help kids in every other neighborhood of Chicago. I've been building this library for nearly 30 years and have been building it on the internet since 1998. The real challenge is motivating the many different actors who are already involved or who need to be involved to access and use this information to support their own innovation and decision-making. I use visualizations to show the long-term goal of helping kids enter first grade today, be starting jobs 20 years later. I use maps to show that solutions need to be in all high-poverty neighborhoods, not just in a few. I spent 17 years creating advertising for the Montgomery Ward Corporation. We spent over $250 million a year on weekly ads that drew customers to 400 stores all over the country and encourage them to buy our merchandise. Wow. I've been trying to create similar weekly advertising to draw volunteers, donors, and others to the information on my website and to the individual tutoring and mentoring programs in Chicago neighborhoods, so each would have a constant flow of the resources and ideas each needs to constantly improve what they do to help kids.
Okay, that's great. So the Tutor Mentor Institute has a four-pronged strategy that has served the youth well since 1993. Can you tell us more about your strategy?
Well, collecting information, organizing it on websites, these are things we've already talked about in the previous questions. This is a constant process because new information is always available and existing information needs to be constantly updated. Like I have a list of over 200 Chicago youth tutoring and mentoring programs on the website. I need to constantly look at that to make sure those websites are still working, that the programs still exist, and I keep looking for new programs that I can add to the list. Well, step two is creating more frequent advertising and media attention so more people look at this. This is what I talked about before. Montgomery Ward had $250 million to spend on weekly advertising to attract people to stores. Well, there's 11 million people in the Chicago region, and very few even know my website resources exist. So we need to find more ways where more people, like shows like this, are drawing attention to the information and helping people find what they're looking for and do things to help kids. And step three then focuses on finding people and helping them understand the information that's available to them. There's over 2,000 links in my website library. Wow. So you can't go through that in one day. If you think of my websites as a Bible of online resources, then think of the process of learning as weekly Sunday school, where the pastor reads a few verses of scripture, and then someone leads a group discussion about that scripture during the Sunday school. This repeats week after week. It repeats in thousands of locations. So this process could be duplicated using the information on the internet as tools people use to help solve problems. Well, step four is the result of the first three steps. It's a call to action. Better information, more people looking at the information, better understanding should lead more people to proactively seek out tutor mentor programs in different neighborhoods to offer time, talent, and dollars to help those programs help kids. This process is ongoing. It requires the involvement of leaders from every sector of business, religion, education, and the nonprofit world.
So the Tutor Mentor Institute's website is not just used for marketing purposes, as we heard. It's really an integral part of your overall strategy. You've created virtual hubs. Can you tell us more about the hubs and how you use the hubs to figuratively transport children from poverty to careers?
But much of the power of the internet is focused on supporting individual and group learning. Anyone can spend as much or as little time as they want learning about poverty, the environment, world issues, and about potential solutions. On my websites, I not only provide information that people leading tutor mentor programs can use to build and sustain more effective programs, I provide information that people in business, philanthropy, media, religion, colleges, etc., can use proactively to support the growth of constantly improving programs in all places where they're needed. If you think of the blueprint for a building or a house, each page has a diagram showing work that needs to be done with codes for different types of work like plumbing or electricity. What you don't see on the blueprint is the planning, the financing, the building permits, and the other work needed to be done before we even put a shovel in the ground to start building the building and to make sure everyone gets paid. Well, if you think of each subcontractor as step in the process as a skill to be learned, then the subsections on my website point to other websites or hubs who are experts on this information. I don't need to provide everything someone needs to know about a topic. If I could point to other websites who have that type of information and better expertise than I do, thus my library is a hyperlinked library where I point visitors to many other places where they can find part of the information they need to know in order to build and sustain high quality youth serving programs in high poverty neighborhoods of Chicago and other cities.
And for a practical matter, you know, once you look at all the resources on the map and the location, it helps you as a leader to actually pull resources together around a certain school or around a certain program so you can create a continuum of services, you know, for the children in school. So I think it's been very, very helpful, you know, for us, even when we were looking at school closings, to look at some of those maps, you know, because a number of the assets that you have include schools and the resources that are available to them. So you helped us get a leg up in terms of trying to figure out what assets we can actually wrap around the schools and provide alternatives to school closings, and most importantly, to deliver stronger outcomes for our children, you know, assuming that they have supportive services working congruently with the schools. So the Tutor Mentor Institute has a very unique logic model. Can you share with our listening audience what a logic model is in general? And then specifically, can you share with us the tutor mentor logic model?
Well, a logic model is just a process of thinking through steps to solve a problem. We start with where we are now and what we know about the problem. Then we seek out more information, and that helps us innovate solutions. We then propose steps that would get us to where we want to be in the future. In my case, I believe that getting extra adults involved in the lives of kids is a good thing. For extra adults to connect with kids in high poverty neighborhoods of big cities like Chicago, organized programs operating in the non-school hours and after work hours need to be available, and they need to be constantly supported if they're going to be effective at engaging kids and volunteers and keeping them engaged. In Chicago, with over 200,000 youth living in poverty, hundreds of programs are needed, and they need to be located in every high poverty neighborhood. With poverty growing in the Chicago suburbs, we need strategies to build and sustain programs in these areas too. The Tutor Mentor Connection, Tutor Mentor Institute, provides strategies leaders might use. You know, you talked about the concept maps that I share. These can be used as worksheets. If someone takes a concept map, they can use it to fill in information that they need to know in order to solve the problem where they are in their neighborhood.
No, that's great. And it makes a great foundation for programs, a great foundation for a proposal, a great foundation for strategic planning. So there's so many uses, you know, and like I said, I've gone on your website and I've used your materials and they've all served me well. And I thank you so much.
Thank you.
And one thing I will say, it really is hard to wrap your arms around it in one setting, but I guarantee you every time you go there, you'll find something new. And it's, you know, relatively easy to navigate. So don't feel overwhelmed by the amount of material. You can always navigate it pretty easily and you can always come back. You wrote a very interesting blog post a while back. You said, no general would go to war without a map. And full disclosure, you were in the Army, right? You were in the
Yep.
military. However, in America's war on poverty, poorly performing schools, crime and violence, too few of our leaders are using maps to connect the resources with youth and families that are the greatest need. Can you describe one of the Tudor Mentor Institute's models in which you address the war on poverty and its collateral damage, pretty much like a general would approach a military campaign?
Sure. Yeah, I've been collecting newspaper clips for over 30 years. One of them is a Chicago Sun-Times article from 1993, where it starts off saying Chicago neighborhoods that were poor 20 years ago are even more entrenched in poverty today because the city lacks a comprehensive battle plan. That was 1993. Wow. This is 2015, and it's still the same thing. You know, generals use maps to show where enemy forces are concentrated, and they do planning to put our troops in those places, hopefully armed with better weapons, better training, and better support systems. The graphic that I've created that shows this planning process focuses on a supply chain that supports troops at battle and generals fighting wars. If you look at the steps of the graphic, it even includes building public will. If we can't keep the public interested and willing to provide the dollars to pay the cost of the war, we can't fight and we can't win. This is the biggest reason we've never won the war on poverty. We don't use maps to put programs in all places where they're needed. We don't have a supply chain that helps each program be the best at what they do to help kids move through school and into jobs and careers. This applies to public schools, not just to non-school tutoring and mentoring programs.
It's your belief that maps can help organizations do a better job of planning and fundraising. Would you care to elaborate?
Yep. If we were to fill Soldier Field with people who are providing donations to youth programs in Chicago and with people leading youth programs in Chicago, we'd look at the crowd and think we're serving every child in the city and funding every program. However, if you plot on a map where these programs are located, what they do, what age group they serve, and where the funding is going, you quickly see that many neighborhoods are underserved and the programs are underfunded. Without mapping what we're doing, it's impossible to know if we're doing it in all the places where it needs to be done.
How can maps be used to lead donors and volunteers to programs in areas of high youth violence?
In a survey of Tudor Mentor programs, which I launched in 1993, we asked what age group you served, what type of program you operate, tutoring, mentoring, a combination, and where you're located. This enables us to create maps with layers of information. Instead of one map with all types of programs, we can sort by one age group to know if certain types of programs are reaching kids in all the places where they're needed. Well, if donors and volunteers were to use this information, they could adopt neighborhoods and provide long-term support to help the neighborhood they adopted be filled with world-class programs. If we were able to look at the map and see that half the neighborhoods, you know, we got 77 community areas, 50 of them are high poverty. So see, if 25 of them showed to have a good range of programs and a good range of support, we want to help those neighborhoods continue support, but then we could focus on those other 25 neighborhoods and try to help mm-hmm. them build strong programs as well.
Yeah, I noticed that you have a program locator database on your website. Can you tell our listeners where they might find the database, how to use it, and examples of how they can apply the knowledge that they'll gain from the database?
Well, the program locator is at www.tutormentorprogramlocator.net. That's all one word. Let me say first that it's not been updated since 2009 and that I've not had manpower to do the full survey since the early 2000s due to lack of funding. I'm looking for partners, sponsors, investors to help me update the service and to make it available in other cities and to keep it free and available to Chicago. With that said, you can still use the program locator to create maps of neighborhoods that show what programs are in that neighborhood, along with what assets, businesses, colleges, hospitals, faith groups, are in the same map area and who could be coming together on a regular basis to support the growth of programs in different neighborhoods of the city. You can still create map views to use in blogs following negative news to show where kids need more help. And you can learn from my experience. If you decided to create your own program locator, don't do it without coming to me and say, well, Dan, what did you learn? What works? What doesn't work?
Can you share three positive outcomes of the work that you've done over the years?
Well, first, let me emphasize that the Tudor Mentor Connection and the Tudor Mentor Institute, LLC, have never had more than one or two full-time people working to achieve its goals and never more than $150,000 in operating dollars. And this is the third largest city in the country. Since 2011, I've been the only person focusing on keeping the Tudor Mentor Connection available to Chicago, and I'm paying for expenses out of my own retirement funds. That's hard to do. Well, second, there was no blueprint for creating the Tudor Mentor Connection when we started in 1993. We've had to innovate solutions based on our own goal of helping programs reach kids in all neighborhoods. With that said, here's three things. We built an extensive library of information that would not be available to Chicago if we'd not persisted in keeping it available. We piloted the use of maps and other spatial tools for planning and resource mobilization. And we created a blueprint that can be duplicated by others in Chicago or by leaders in other cities and by people trying to solve different problems than making tutor mentor programs available to inner city kids. Yet all of this is still a work in progress, and it's just a fraction of what it's intended to be and what it could be.
Along those lines, can you share three lessons learned in all of the years of doing this work?
Sure. First, every youth is different and constantly changing. Other than a long-term vision of wanting them to move safely through school and be prepared for jobs and careers with a network of adults to help them, there's no single path to reach that goal. Second, every volunteer is also different, and each has many gifts and talents to offer. Programs need to be able to attract volunteers from a wide range of business and life experiences. They need to be able to recruit and retain staff and core leaders who can nurture the growth of volunteer involvement so more people will do more to help kids and more people will do more to help programs. This is long-term work. There are no shortcuts. Kids only grow a day at a time, and it takes 12 years just to get from first grade to 12th grade. Public attention, donor attention, and volunteer commitments seldom last more than a short part of that journey. We need to find ways to extend that attention span and length of commitment.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, normally at this time, we would take questions from our callers. I don't see any questions in queue. If you are a listener and if you have any questions, please feel free to call in. The number is 347-884-8121. Okay, so we don't have any callers at this point. We've come to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank Dan Basil, DHL, President and CEO of Tudor Mentor Institute, for being my guest today. Dan, would you care to share any thoughts and tell us how we can reach you, and most importantly, how can we get involved to support this wonderful work?
Well, as you said when we started the conversation, you spent a lot of time on my websites and you kept going deeper and deeper, and there's a lot of stuff there. So my wish to anyone listening is that you take about 15 or 20 minutes a week and you start visiting the tutormentor.blogspot.com. And from there, as you read the articles, follow the links and go into my other websites. From that, you'll begin to build your own understanding of what I'm talking about in terms of building a movement of people from all different sectors who help fill Chicago neighborhoods with high quality youth and family serving organizations. As you find ideas that you find valuable, turn around and share them with other people. I describe this like a Bible of information, and I use the analogy of Sunday school. Well, if you're in a high school, if you're in a college, if you're in a faith group, if you're in a business, you can begin to gather people together and you can begin to say, let's look at this stuff. Let's talk about it. What does it mean to us? And what are the things we could do to help youth serving organizations grow in neighborhoods where they're needed? As you look at this information on a weekly basis, use your Twitter, use your Facebook, use your social media to tell other people to look at it. Valerie is going to share this interview in ways that other people can look at it. Well, when she shares this, use your Twitter feed to tell people you know you need to look at this. Use your Facebook to say, you need to look at this. When you go out to dinner tonight or when you have family over for a barbecue, talk about this. Yeah, the information is only as good as it's able to dramatically increase the number of people looking at the information and the number of people adding their own thoughts and ideas to what we do to solve these complex problems. Which we're going to pass on to a younger generation, either for good or for ill. As far as reaching me, I'm on Twitter at Tutor Mentor Team. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. And those are the best ways to contact me. My email is tutormentor2@earthlink.net. If you want to arrange a time to talk to me, email me first, and then we could connect on Skype or some other platform. Or if you're in the Chicago area, we can get together for coffee or and start to talk.
And what I love about these resources is even though you focus on tutoring programs, youth programs, and mentoring programs, your methodology can be applied no matter what sector of the nonprofit industry or even if you were in for-profit. You know, these methodologies are easily transferable regardless of what you do. So please make sure that you go and look at the website and get some ideas, but most importantly, contact Dan.
Well, and let me follow up on that. There's one section on the tutormentorexchange.net website that in the upper right corner, it says concept maps. These are a collection of the different concept maps that I've used. One of the maps focuses on the sections of the web library, and one subsection of the library is a collection of links to websites talking about innovation, collaboration, knowledge management, creativity. These are ideas that if you begin to read the websites, learn from what people are talking about. They're not just nonprofits on how to do nonprofit work. These are ideas from some of the smartest people in the world about how we solve problems. And whether the problem be a personal problem, a family problem, a business problem, a community problem, learning to learn and learning to innovate and learning to share your work with other people so that other people help you. These are all solutions that could be applied in almost any endeavor that we might choose to take upon ourselves.
Oh, awesome. See, I'm learning something as I listen today. Thank you for that. So we've come to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank Dan Basil, DHL President and CEO, once more for being our guest. And I thank you so much for listening to Nonprofit U. The show will be available for download within about an hour. Be sure to tune in next week when our next guest will be Christos Hoemimo. She's a young activist, and she'll share an update on some of the work she's doing with youth and their families in low-income communities. And most importantly, she'll be talking about ways that we can attract young millennials to do more work in the nonprofit sector. So until then, stay tuned. We're looking forward to a great discussion. And I'll talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.